Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting from the University of British Columbia, of course. And right now we have a special feature. This is from a recording that was done at the Chan Center on Saturday, March 24th. They had a performance by a very famous German singer and performer named Ute Lemper. She was accompanied by the Vogler Quartet. And at this performance, she performed a wide range of World War II inspired songs from all over the world, starting in France, moving to Berlin, going all the way to Russia, and even stretching down into South America. And before the performance, there was a talk given by a professor at UBC named Stephen Taubenek, who is a professor in the Central Eastern and Northern European Studies faculty. And in this talk, he gave an overview of a lot of the artists who Lemper was covering, and a good overview of the time period itself and the context that these songs are being written in. And right now, that is what you are going to hear. You're going to hear a recording of this pre-show talk given by Professor Taubenek. And following that, we put together a compilation of many of the artists that Lemper covers in this show. At the end of this set, there will be two songs by Ute Lemper herself, from a previous performance, an older performance. So I hope you enjoy it. Again, this is CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good evening. My name is Joyce Hinton, and I, along with my colleague Cam McGill, am co-managing director of the Chan Center for the Performing Arts. Welcome. I am so thrilled to be here for tonight's performance featuring the incomparable Ute Lemper, and very pleased to have you here to attend another Chan Center Connects event. Chan Center Connects is a series that we do to complement our concert season and to shed further light on the featured artists and their work. We are grateful to Dr. Gabby Pyler and Dr. Stephen Taubenek of the UBC Faculty of Arts, Department of Central, Eastern, and Northern European Studies for their enthusiasm in supporting and developing this talk. Associate Professor Dr. Taubenek, who is giving this talk this evening, received a PhD from the University of Virginia. His dissertation deals with the early writings of Franz Kafka, and he has since published several articles on Kafka. Dr. Taubenek's interests have led him increasingly towards cultural studies, and throughout his career, he has worked on postmodernism and the relations between philosophy and literature. We're very pleased to have him here tonight, and I'd ask you to join me in welcoming Dr. Stephen Taubenek.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you all for coming. And I'd also especially like to thank Christine Offer, the program coordinator, for inviting me to speak here tonight. I've been asked to make some remarks about our performance, which stars Ute Lemper with the Vogler Quartet and Stefan Maltsev. It should be a compelling program involving works from different cultures. I'd like to take you through the program with a focus on the Weimar Republic, Ute Lemper, her selection, and her performance styles. One of the greatest problems we face today could be called broadly multiculturalism, or how to get along with people who are different. How should we deal with each other, given the differences between cultures, languages, and perspectives? Music, dance, and theater can help us to recognize our differences and enjoy them. Our program tonight will bring us into different musical cultures, times, and styles. Through the music, we will experience a wide range of different cultures together. The program begins with a string quartet by a German-Jewish Czech composer, moves to songs by a French woman, two German men, a Russian folk song, and a song by an Israeli woman. After the intermission, we will have an addition, songs by an Argentine tango composer and a Belgian French-speaking man. This cultural range from Germany and the Czech Republic to France and Belgium, Russia, Argentina, and Israel also encompasses different historical periods from pre-20th century to the present. One of the ideas is for us to experience the pleasures of such different cultures and histories, not in the sense of a single monolithic world culture, but rather with an awareness of the richness and the variety of cultural experiences. The performance tonight is part of a cross-continental tour for Ute Lemper, the Vogler Quartet, and Stefan Maltsev. They began their North American tour on March 19th and will end on April 6th. The tour coincides with the release of a CD entitled Paris Days, Berlin Nights, just as our program is entitled tonight. Though Lemper is from West Germany, while the Vogler Quartet and Maltsev are from East Germany, the former East Germany, they are nevertheless musicians from the same generation who were teens during the Cold War. Lemper's training in dance and theater led her to an early career in musical theater in Europe and on Broadway. The Vogler's career was launched after winning the Evian International String Quartet competition in France in 1985. Maltsev, who serves as the music director of the Neubrandenburg Orchestra in Germany, did the arrangements and plays the clarinet, piano, and accordion, accompanying the others. For the recording, the musicians worked 17 hours a day for several days in a row at a concert church in Neubrandenburg, a town north of Berlin. The recording was done in the old recording style, with everyone required to perform live. Lemper described the recording as, quote, beautiful, because it's not totally perfect, but is still alive, end quote. For tonight's program, the first work is called Five Pieces for String Quartet by Erwin Schulhoff. Schulhoff, who lived from 1894 to 1942, was a prolific composer whose work embraced a wide range of styles and influences. Like Kafka and Mahler, a German Jew in a Czech cultural milieu, Schulhoff took full advantage of his outsider status to forge a distinctive musical personality. Born in Prague, the German-speaking prodigy studied Dvorak, Scriabin, and Strauss, Debussy, and Janáček. Following this more traditional training, Schulhoff returned from World War I with a new political and musical orientation. He turned to the leftist musical avant-garde in Germany during the Weimar Republic and began to incorporate the melange of styles from Dadaism to Expressionism, jazz, and South American dance, which flourished between the two wars. Schulhoff's politics, his leftist politics, eventually led him to join the Communist Party. His political views brought him trouble, however. His music was banned, and he was forced to work under a pseudonym. When the Germans invaded Czechoslovakia, he was deported to a concentration camp in Würzburg, Germany, where he died of tuberculosis. The Five Pieces for String Quartet amounts to a suite of five pieces. It was written in 1923 when Schulhoff returned from Germany to Prague. The pieces include a dance suite, a neoclassical glance back to the Baroque era, blended with modern dissonances. The suite provides a synopsis of several aspects of Schulhoff's music, a sense of parody bordering on the grotesque, an element of Czech folk music, a love of popular dance, and rhythmic vitality. The pieces express the words he wrote in 1919, quote, "Music should first and foremost produce physical pleasures, even ecstasies. Music is never philosophy. It arises from an ecstatic condition, finding its expression through rhythmical movement," end quote. From the context of classical music blended with jazz and modernist elements, the program turns to the work of Edith Piaf, the well-known French chanteuse. She was born Edith Giovanna Gassion in 1915 in Paris, France. Legend has it that she was born on the streets of Paris on a cold winter night to a 17-year-old mother who was a café singer and a father who was a street acrobat. Her mother soon abandoned her, and she went to live with her paternal grandmother, who was the madam of a brothel. She was completely blind from ages 3 to 7 and claimed to have been miraculously cured when the prostitutes prayed for her on a religious pilgrimage. During World War II, she was a frequent performer at German forces' social gatherings in occupied France. Though many considered her a traitor, following the war, she said she'd been working for the French resistance. While there is no evidence of this, it seems that she was instrumental in helping a number of individuals escape Nazi persecution. Early in 1940, Piaf recorded one of her signature songs, L'Accordioniste, which we will hear tonight, just before its composer, Michel Aimea, left for the war. She would later help the Jewish Aimea escape France during the Nazi occupation. It seems that Piaf resisted in her own way, as, for example, when, during World War II, she went to sing for French prisoners in Germany and posed for a picture with them. When she returned to France, she made individual passports for the prisoners using the pictures taken in Germany during her visit. When she went back to sing for them, she gave each one a passport that brought them to freedom. She died on either October 10th or October 11th, 1963. The date is still disputed in Caen, France. Through it all and ever since, Edith Piaf has maintained her national and international reputation. The names Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht are synonymous with the radical politics and cultural innovation of the Weimar Republic. Most famously with their hit, The Three Penny Opera, but also with numerous other collaborative pieces, the duo represented everything that the Nazi regime declared its enemy. The Jewish Weill and the Marxist Brecht were some of the earliest and most obvious targets of Nazi cultural oppression. Kurt Weill was born in 1900 in Dessau into a Jewish family with a long ancestry in Germany. He began composing early, displaying the predilection for vocal music that was to lead him to musical theater. He later moved to Berlin to continue his studies. The aspiring musician quickly became a fixture in the vibrant cultural scene of 1920s Berlin. In 1922, he joined the November Group, a group of leftist Berlin artists that included Hans Eisler. They performed the works of modernist composers like Berg, Schoenberg, Hindemith, and Stravinsky. He had some early successes, but it was his partnership with Brecht that transformed Weill into an international sensation. The Three Penny Opera premiered in 1928, starring Weill's wife, Lotte Lenya. It was a hit, establishing Weill as one of the most successful composers of Weimar Germany. Weill's powerful music, combined with the cynicism and social criticism of Brecht's libretto, had produced one of the most important cultural creations of interwar Europe. One of the centerpieces of tonight's program, the song called Mack the Knife in English, is from this play. It has become a standard and will be familiar to most of you. Uta Lemper will also sing the song Surabaya Johnny from the three-act surrealistic drama Happy End, written with Brecht, Weill, and Elisabeth Hauptmann, and first performed in Berlin in 1929. Like many others, Weill repeatedly misread political developments, believing that things were bound to get better. Eventually, he moved to Paris to escape the Nazis, where he hoped he would continue his work with Brecht. But the collaboration in Paris was relatively unsuccessful. Soon after, his marriage ended in divorce. He left for the U.S., where he hoped to rebuild his career. But despite some financial success in the United States, he never achieved the sort of fame or influence that he'd enjoyed during the Weimar years. Weill died in 1950. Uta Lemper has been performing Mack the Knife for many years now, and her performance has become one of her signature pieces. The words of the song are critical of capitalism while imagining a number of different characters in competition with each other, so that the song allows her to bring her talents for singing, dance, and theater to the fore. The Weimar Republic and its music have always been at the core of my work, she has said. There's a little bit of Berlin in everything I do. With its intense mixed energies, the Weimar Republic from 1919 to the rise of the Nazis in 1933 marked a cultural renaissance in German cultural history. The mood in Germany following the end of World War I was one of gloom, resentment, and utopian hope. National Socialists bitterly complained about the, quote, stab in the back, unquote, that led to the collapse of the German war effort, while communists saw an opportunity for the construction of a new German state. Especially following the Russian Revolution, many felt that Germany could change. At the same time, the economy after the war was in shambles. From 1919 to 1923, Germany was in a state of hyperinflation. In Berlin, for example, investors would make as much money as they could during the day, only to spend it all at night. For the next day, it might be entirely worthless. Eventually, the Americans created a plan to stabilize the German banking system. Once this plan was in place and the economy grew more stable, a period of relative prosperity began that lasted for about 5 years, from 1924 to 1929. These were the so-called golden years of the Weimar Republic, when the image of a new modern woman emerged, for example. Many cultural innovations occurred, and Berlin again became one of the capitals of European culture. At the same time, artists like Schulhoff, Weil, and Brecht saw the contradictions of the situation. It was undoubtedly the lively critical activity which consistently draws Ute Lemper to Weimar culture. After Weil, the program moves to Hans Eisler, who lived from 1898 to 1962. One of Arnold Schoenberg's brightest pupils in Vienna, Hans Eisler was schooled in the traditional method of composers like Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms. Schoenberg never actually taught his famous 12-tone method to his students, but his protege Eisler began to experiment with the new form in the early 20s. Eisler would later abandon this style for more militant street music, but come back to it later during his exile from Hitler's Germany and after his return to the German Democratic Republic. In 1925, Eisler moved from Vienna to Berlin, where he was swept into the revolutionary politics of the Weimar Republic. The German love affair with jazz was just beginning. The new technologies of radio, disc recording, and the sound film were challenging traditional concepts of art. Politically, it was a time of extreme polarization. Left-wing artists like Eisler believed they were living at the dawn of a new age. They looked at social reality from below, from the viewpoint of prostitutes and prisoners, the unemployed and the hungry. Often aggressive and sarcastic, Eisler's songs from this period were sung in street demonstrations, public auditoriums, and left-wing cabarets. The personal friendship between Eisler and Brecht began in the late 1920s, the final crisis years of the Weimar Republic. Besides that of Brecht and Weil, the collaboration between Brecht and Eisler was one of the most creative partnerships between a playwright and a musician in the 20th century. For example, the Brecht-Eisler solidarity song from the 1931 film Kula Vampa, or Who Owns the World, became an instant revolutionary hit. Eisler was fortunately in Vienna when Hitler was named chancellor on January 30th, 1933. Eisler escaped Vienna and went to the USA, where he was eventually tried by the House Un-American Activities Committee for his communist leanings. He then returned to East Germany with Brecht, where the two continued their collaborations. Eisler wrote the national anthem of the GDR. Still, after Brecht's death, Eisler came under suspicion of the state authorities in the East and died in a relatively depressed state. For tonight's program, Ute Lemper will perform three songs by Eisler, who wrote these songs in the 1930s as statements of opposition to the Nazis. You can hear the blend of Eisler's training in 12-tone composition with street or popular music in these songs. These are relatively dark pieces called The Trench, On Suicide, and Ballad of the Water Wheel. As Eisler went to East Germany, the arranger, Stefan Maltsev, is from the East, so that according to Lemper, quote, the arranger could connect very strongly with the music, and it's finely executed by the Voglers, end quote. Though Lemper's core repertoire remains in the Weimar period, rooted in the cabaret style of that time, her performances are not nostalgic. She does not try to keep the music in its authentic historical context. She always tries to make the work contemporary with political jokes and musical revisions. Quote, my mission is to drag Weimar culture into the future, end quote. Not only is she interested in bringing us to inhabit different cultures and different times, she's also concerned to make her music as critically relevant as possible to our contemporary world. I believe you will find that the music performed here tonight will have substantial relevance to our own situation today. In the words of one of the characters from Happy End, quote, "Robbing a bank is no crime compared to owning one," end quote. The last two songs before the intermission will be a Russian folk song and a song by the Israeli folk singer Chava Alberstein, who was born in 1947. The Russian folk music dramatically expands the range of the program, from classical to cabaret, chanson, protest song to folk. The inclusion of Chava Alberstein will bring the first half to a powerful close. Alberstein was born in northern Poland just after World War II, but moved to Israel at the age of 4. She is a champion of liberal causes. Throughout her career, she has been an activist for human rights and Arab-Israeli unity. In 1989, her song, Had Gadya, in which she criticizes Israel's policy towards the Palestinians, was banned by Israel State Radio. Alberstein is also a champion of the Yiddish language. She's undoubtedly Israel's most accomplished singer, having released nearly 50 recordings since the late 1960s. But Chava Alberstein sees herself as much as a singer of the world as a singer of Israel. Quote, "Even though I've lived in Israel nearly my entire life, I'm constantly questioning my place in the world. Maybe the searching comes from being an artist. Maybe it comes from being a Jew. I'm not really sure," end quote. This tension between the national and the universal is most evident in her recordings. From tender love songs to defiant songs about peace and oppression, there are songs celebrating the beauty of the human form and more melancholy songs about loss, poverty, and solitude. Quote, "If we have a true folk singer, it is Chava Alberstein," end quote, Israel's largest daily newspaper said about her, naming her the most important female musician in Israel's history. Schulhoff and Alberstein will be featured again in the second half of the program, but Ute Lemper and her musicians also add Astor Piazzolla and Jacques Brel. Piazzolla lived from 1921 to 1992 and was an Argentine tango composer. His oeuvre revolutionized the traditional tango into a new style called Nuevo Tango, incorporating elements from jazz and classical music. His music is fundamentally a tragic statement. At a time when so much contemporary music has drifted either into formalism or toward a romance with commercialism, these tangos speak with the authority of genuine feeling. Their roots lie in Buenos Aires' jumble of colliding cultures, Spanish, German, Jewish, Native American, Italian. It is a true multiculture yet to be smoothed out. His music is a discovery of many competing moods all at once, unexpected, multifaceted, volatile, generous. Jacques Brel, on the other hand, lived from 1929 to 1978. He was a Belgian singer-songwriter who composed and performed moving and theatrical songs that generated a large devoted following in France initially and later throughout the world. He's widely considered a master of the modern chanson. Although he recorded most of his songs in French, he's become a major influence on English-speaking songwriters and performers as well. Born into a bourgeois family, Brel rejected the future awaiting him in his father's cardboard factory and turned to singing. At the height of his success in 1967, he chose to stop singing to devote himself to theater, cinema, and sailing. Brel's boundless enthusiasm toward life, his inexhaustible energy, and his respect for ordinary people remain unforgettable. Born on the eve of the Great Depression, he experienced the Second World War and the German invasion of Belgium, the Algerian independence struggle in the late 1950s, and the mass radicalization of the 1960s. These events profoundly marked his life and art. Brel writes with great sympathy of the troubles of everyday life, the profound sadness of war, conflict, depression, poverty, misery, and loneliness, as well as its beauties. What is remarkable about Ute Lemper's performances of all this different material is her ability to make it her own, and that way bring it all alive for us. Hers is a daring mix of difficult, widely divergent music. But the rich qualities of her voice, the expressive power of her body language, and the sheer force of her personality enable her to hold these different traditions together and to add new meaning to them. She doesn't simply reel off the lyrics when she sings. She takes advantage of her training in music, dance, and theater to turn these songs into lived experiences. She paces the stage, singing, hissing, and snarling. She stretches slow melodies nearly to the breaking point and switches from low humor to high tragedy with the fluidity of great actresses. The entire time she is moving like a dancer. Even her talk on stage, her stage patter, is moving. While she admires some of Germany's cultural history, she's also aware of its terrible side. The terrors of the Nazi period may have receded into the past, but they are never very far from Lemper's performances. One of her greatest strengths is her ability to make different cultures sing together, and so to enlarge our own experience of the richness of our world. Thank you for your attention. I hope you enjoy the concert, and we have a bit of time for questions if you have any. Thank you.